Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If you will, take your New Testament and go to the general epistle written to Titus, often called a pastoral epistle or one of the epistles that Paul wrote to individuals that he dearly loved. Titus chapter 1 is where I want us to draw a thought from, really keying in on the fourth verse. And in our time before us, I want to look at one word that appears in Scripture 39 times. Now, time will not permit us to go through all 39, don't worry. But I do want us to focus in on one word. Who is Titus, though? That will help us understand just a little bit of where our study is going. Titus is a man who's not mentioned in the book of Acts. Although it's interesting, he had travels that would have occurred during the time of Acts. We learn from Galatians chapter 2, around about verse 13, that he was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul and also knew Barnabas. So that kind of puts us about the middle of the book of Acts. He didn't necessarily go on the missionary journeys, but he was alive and well working in different areas. You know, Paul took a couple of people under his wing. We know he took John Mark, or Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, from what we can tell. There was some contention there, so Mark left. He went with Barnabas, his cousin. He took Timothy under his wing, and he had Timothy circumcised. He also took Titus under his wing and did not have Titus circumcised. So Paul had three real proteges, if you will, Titus being the last of them. And notice how he begins this letter. Paul, a servant of God, he has identified himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's giving his proof of inspiration according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our own Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Twice, once in verse 3, ends that verse. Once in verse 4, ends that verse. I want us to look at the word Savior. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Now, the root of that word is just save, one that saves. But when you make it capital and you're talking about Jesus Christ, one, the only one, that saves us from sin, saves us from eternal condemnation. As I mentioned, the word Savior 39 times, both Old and New Testament, but it appears, that's a lot of times, 39. That's almost one in every other book, really, a little bit more than that. I want us to look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, and there's four simple things we can notice about our Savior. And dear friends, if He's not your Savior, I'm going to encourage you at the end of the lesson to make Him your Savior. Go back to, in my Bible it's page 3, because I have bigger font than most, but Genesis chapter 3, it may be on page 2 for you, that's fine. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and if you are someone who likes to mark in your Bible, underline, star, maybe you have a piece of scratch paper handy, you may want to make note of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's read it, then I'll tell you why we're talking about it. And we're in the Garden of Eden, and we're receiving, or punishments are being doled out on the woman and then on the man for transgressing God's word. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Number one about our Savior, dear friends, he was promised in Eden. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was promised in Eden. Now, why did I say mark Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15? That is the first reference to Jesus Christ we find in Scripture. Chapter 1, now he's there in the beginning, was the Word. We know that. And God said, let us, that's plural. But this is your first messianic prophecy of the over 300 in the Old Testament that point to Christ. And this one here, he will bruise your head. It shall bruise Satan's head. You will bruise his heel. Now that happened, did it not, at the cross? Yeah, Jesus was hurt. You might say it's like a snake bit him on the ankle. Yeah, that hurts. But Jesus Christ killed the snake. He defeated Satan. So number one, Jesus Christ was promised. And all the prophecies from Genesis 3, verse 15, through the end of Malachi all came true. That makes him our Savior. Number one, he was promised. You know, a lot of the religious world, and I use religious loosely, they put their faith and trust in a man who wasn't promised. They put their faith and trust in a group of people who came together to have some ordinance, some board, if you will, with a creed. But they weren't prophesied literally about 4,000 years before they were born. They just showed up one day. So number one, Jesus is our promised Savior. Number two, go to the book of Luke, if you will. Luke, the second chapter, the beloved physician. See what Luke says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 11. Number one, Jesus is promised in Eden. Number two, he is provided in Bethlehem. Notice Luke 2 and verse 11. For unto you, this is the story of the birth of Christ, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now the city of David, we learn through studying the Scripture, is the city of Bethlehem. So he was provided, born this day. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Not a place that you would really think a king or a savior would be born. Definitely not the way you think he would be born. You look over across the pond and other countries in the world that have royalty, when they know a newborn babe is on the way, it's great pomp and circumstance, and people wait outside of the hospital for days on end to get a first glance, and they sell for thousands of dollars the first picture of the new prince or princess. Well, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords did not have pomp and circumstance. He was born in a lowly manger at a time when the government had called for everybody to be taxed and the city was overrun with people. See, he was provided. It wasn't a mistake. He came when he was supposed to. That's number two. Number three, drop down to chapter 2 and verse 22. He was promised in Eden. He was provided in Bethlehem. But look at number three. He was presented in Jerusalem. And when the days of her purification, talking about Mary, they were still under the old law. They're abiding by the book of Leviticus. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, of course, the Lord already knew that Jesus was born. No doubt about that. But they're following what the old law said to do. They lived under the law. So they present him. Here he is. Now, it's not just holding him up, but they would have almost dedicated him to the Lord, if you will, as they would have done to other young males, baby boys that were born. See, Jesus was promised way back in Eden. But he was provided in Bethlehem, and he's presented in Jerusalem. But our fourth thing I want us to look at, go to the book of Acts chapter 5, if you will. And we'll show you something else you may want to make note of in your copy of God's Word. Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Jesus was promised, provided, presented, now he's preached. And I want you to notice Jesus Christ, number four, is preached everywhere. Preached everywhere. Acts 5 and 31. And him, that's Jesus Christ. That's what this whole sermon in Acts 5, the latter half of Acts 5, the first part's Ananias and Sapphira, the latter half of Peter's preaching. And this sermon, Jesus Christ, whom was hung on a tree, verse 30. Verse 31, him, Jesus Christ, God's exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Underline that word, Savior. That's the first time in the book of Acts we encounter that word. And yet that's so crucial to the preaching that would come later in the book of Acts. See, Jesus Christ is preached. Now, here they're still in and around Jerusalem, Judea, and that region. But today, Jesus Christ is preached everywhere. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, there's not a corner of the globe. I know it doesn't have corners, but to borrow the expression, there's not a corner of the globe that Jesus Christ is not to be preached in. He says, go ye, means go me. And as he says, go into all the world, he means send missionaries. Send people to go convert. But really in Greek, he means as you are going. So those that you meet on the street, those that you live next door to, those that you work with, See, dear friends, there are lost souls in Warren County. There are lost souls in the state of Tennessee, in North America, South America, and the other continents. There's lost souls all over the globe. So we preach our Savior everywhere. I think about the song, "This Little Light of Mine," the last verse, "All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to preach everywhere we go." Well, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me, because He was promised, provided, presented. Therefore, we preach Him everywhere. A wonderful Savior. I want to ask you a question, though, tonight as we close out our period of study. Is He the Savior of your life? See, He died on the cross for your sins. He's already done His part. Don't leave Him hanging there, to borrow the expression. Make good on that sacrifice that He did.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman, and dear friends, thank you for joining us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and if you just enjoyed our study on our Savior, maybe you want to send that to someone else or share it again, or listen to it again, I should say, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program, and from there you can find all of them. Now, our Savior, what we just talked about, was program 143. So you can find that. They're listed by program number. A whole bunch of goodies, and everything on there is free. Would never dare ask you for anything. That is our gift to you. Since the program is titled Reading the Word, and we've enjoyed this, our past couple of programs, I thought we would just keep it going here. Where we'll spend our remaining time reading God's Word. And I want to read Psalm 51, a beloved psalm from a dark spot in David's life. And we look at the title first, and it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after David had gone to Bathsheba." This is resulting in the sin we have found recorded, 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. Psalm 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Psalm 51. Dear friends, that concludes Reading the Word today. I do appreciate you spending just some of your day with me. I want you to know it has been truly a highlight of my day, and I hope we can do it again next week at the same time. Once again, readingtheword.net has all the info you need, and also I want to bid you a pleasant good day. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.